Hey, welcome to Shir Ramban, Parshas Re'eh. In the Parsha Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chof Tes, we read the following: Ki Yachris Hashem Elokechus Hagoyim Asher Atov Oshama Lereshes Osam Yiponecha. When God enables you to conquer the nations that you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, Yorashto Osam Yoshavta Baratzam, you'll defeat them and you'll inhabit their lands. You'll come into Eretz Yisrael, you'll defeat the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll inhabit Eretz Yisrael. Hishomer lecha pentinokesh achareyim, acharei hisham dom yiponecha. Be very, very careful, lest you be ensnared following those nations after you have destroyed them. Ufen tidrosh leloheyim. And you should be very careful, lest you inquire after their gods, Lamor saying, Echo Yavdu Hagoim Ho'elas Eloheim, in what manner did these nations worship their gods? Ve'esa Kain Gam Oni, I will do the same. Lo Sasa Chain Lashem Elokecha, you should not do that. You should not act in such a way towards Hashem your God. Because all of the things that are despicable in the eyes of God are the things that these nations did in the service of their gods. Indeed, they would burn their own sons and daughters as an offering to their gods. And then, even though the next pasuk begins Perek Yud Gimel in the Sefer Torah, it's an unbroken passage. So we read, Eis kol adover shonochi mitzave eschem, oso sishmu rilasos. All of the things which I command you to do, you should guard and perform. Lo sose falov, lo sigra mimenu. You should not add to them, you should not subtract from them in any way. In general terms, clearly these psukim are telling the Jewish people that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, they should not seek to emulate the non-Jewish former inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, even after they were successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael from the hands of the seven nations, the seven idolatrous nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael, they should not try to imitate those nations, they should not try to follow in the ways of those nations. Question is, what exactly is it which is being described in these psukim? So the Ramban starts off by quoting Rashi. Hishomer lecha pentinokish achareyam acharei hisham dom yiponecha. It's the Ramban on Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk says you should be very, very careful lest you be ensnared following these nations. So Rashi on that pasuk writes, "Achar shetiresh ashmidei miponecha." Once you realize that I have destroyed these nations as you came in, yeshlosei slave b'neiman ishtamdu elu. So you should take to heart, why is it that these nations were destroyed? B'neimaisim ikukalim shebiyadeyim. It's because of the terrible deeds which these nations performed. So you should take care, says Rashi, not to do what those non-Jewish nations did, because if their terrible deeds led to them being destroyed and chased out of Eretz Yisrael, so it stands to reason that if you imitate them, you too, Rachmana Litzlan, will be destroyed or chased out of Eretz Yisrael. So comments the Ramban on that reading of Rashi, v'im kein, if that's the way to read the psukim, yiyah ashara v'hasra milavod avodah zara. So then the point of the psukim, according to Rashi, would be, don't worship avodah zara, don't worship idolatry. Because again, what was it that these nations did that led to them being destroyed and chased out of Eretz Yisrael? It was their idolatrous practices. So they did idolatrous practices and were destroyed. You should not do idolatrous practices, and that way, you know, learn from them, from their example, and you won't be destroyed. V'chein kosav, and then Rashi goes on to quote a Gemara in Sanhedrin, when the pasuk says, don't ask, Eicha yavdu hagoyim ha'eles Eloheim ve'esa kein gam ani. How did these nations worship their gods? I will do the same. So Rashi comments on that. Lefishlo anash al avodah zarah el al zibuach v'kitur v'nisuch v'yishtach havaya devarim hanasim l'govoa. Up until this point in Chumash, the Torah has only punished a Jew who worships avodah zarah in one of the classic ways in which one would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By, let's say, offering up a karbon, offering up incense, pouring out a libation in front of the Avodah Zarah, prostrating oneself in front of the Avodah Zarah. All of those are forms of worship that are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So up until this point in the Chumash, I knew that if I bring a karbon to Avodah Zarah, I'm going to be punished. If I prostrate myself in front of Avodah Zarah, I'm going to be punished. But let's say there's an Avodah Zarah that's served in a manner that doesn't fit the ways in which I would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say there's an idol, a god of ping pong. And the way you serve this particular idol is to play a game of ping pong in front of the idol. Maybe there is such an idol somewhere, I don't know. You know, the islands of ping pong, you know, are famous for their Avodah Zarah. So how do you know that, you know, worshipping an Avodah Zarah in any which manner which is associated with the worship of that Avodah Zarah brings with it a punishment, even if it's a form of worship which is not associated with serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So comes this pasuk and says, Eicha yavdu agoyim ha'eles Eloheim ve'esa kein gam ani. You shouldn't ask, oh, how did these nations worship their Avodah Zarah? I will do the same. So according to Rashi's interpretation, which again is called from Chazal, the psukim are talking about prohibitions for Jews to worship Avodah Zarah. You shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah the way that the nations did in Eretz Yisrael before they were driven out. And specifically, you shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah in a manner which is unique to that Avodah Zarah, even if that manner of worship is something that doesn't find its parallel in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any which way. That's Rashi's interpretation of the Psukim, again, based to a large extent on Chazal. Writes the Ramban, V'zeh einenu nacho. But certainly in terms of Pshat, says the Ramban, that's not the correct interpretation of the Psukim. Ki akosiv omer lo sasa shchein l'ashem elokecha. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when it talks about what you should not do, it says you shouldn't do these things to Hashem your God. So if the prohibition that's being discussed in the Psukim is about worshipping Avodah Zarah, what does it mean, don't do these things to Hashem your God? If the person is serving Avodah Zarah, so he's not interacting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's interacting with the Avodah Zarah alone. Rather, says the Ramban, Eino azhara ba'avodah le'loheyem, rak shelo lavod Hashem hanichbod ba'avodosam. These psukim are not talking about Avodah Zarah at all, but rather the psukim are saying that we should not serve Hashem in a manner which is reminiscent of the Avodah Zarah of the idolatrous nations. And he goes on to explain the following. Pirush HaParsha. What this parsha is talking about is the following idea. Ki ad heino, Siva pa'amim rabos ki bebo'enu el ha'oretz nakar avodah zarah misham sheha. Numerous times, up until this point in Chumash, the Torah has told us that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, we have to totally obliterate avodah zarah and anything connected to avodah zarah from Eretz Yisrael. V'tziva shenasa zeh miyad, kasher anachlu yorshim osa miyad. And we're told that we have to take care of this right away when we come into Eretz Yisrael. As soon as we're able to conquer the nations there, we have to eradicate the Avodah Zarah. The Ata. But now the Pasuk is coming and saying something else. Ata Omar, Ki kasher yachris Hashem ha'goyim ha'hemi ponenu, V'yishtakei Hashem Avodah Zarah min ha'oretz v'neshev ba'artzom lovetach, when we've already been successful in eradicating the nations from Eretz Yisrael, when we've already been successful in eradicating their idolatrous worship from Eretz Yisrael, and we are undisputedly living in Eretz Yisrael, living a Jewish life, Lo nachshov b'libeinu. We should not have the following thought. Hinei yichris Hashem yiponeinu avdei Elohim acherim ba'avur shahayu osim kavod ba'avod ha'shleimu l'maisa yidei adam eitzvo even ve'ein roi lo seis kivodu l'acher usilosu l'apsilim. Ki kein asar zibuach v'kitur v'nisach v'shtar chavayo bilti l'Hashem levado. We shouldn't think as follows. Why did God eradicate all of these idolatrous nations from Eretz Yisrael? Because they were engaging in incredible acts of worship. It's just that the object of their worship was misdirected. They were orienting their worship towards their Avodah Zarah. So that was a terrible, terrible mistake. But the actual acts of worship themselves that they engaged in were an incredible bestowal of kavod, of honor, upon their Avodah Zarah. Im Kain, es ani l'ashem ha'nichbod, kasher hoyu osim ha'goyim le'lohem ve'itav l'fonov. Why was God so mad at these nations? Because they took forms of worship that should have been directed at Hashem, and they directed them instead in Avodah Zarah. So if we take their same forms of worship and we adapt it to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the biggest kavod, the biggest act of honor that we can possibly give to Hashem Yisbarach. Lachein hizkir lo sasekei. And it's for that reason that the Pasuk comes and says, don't do that. Ki advarim hametu'ovim lefonav hayu osim le'loheyem. Say the psukim as follows. What was wrong about the idolatrous inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael was not just that they were directing their worship towards Avodah Zarah, that was certainly wrong, but the mode and the manner of their worship was also depraved and disgusting in so many ways. It's not just who they were worshiping, it's how they were worshiping. Not only were they worshiping Avodah Zarah, but they were doing so in a way which was depraved and disgusting. And that's the psukim. Hishame lecha pentinokish achareyim. Be very careful, lest you be ensnared by these nations. Acharei sham dom yiponecha. Long after they're gone. You're not going to worship their Avodah Zarah. Their Avodah Zarah doesn't exist anymore. However, you're inspired by the following. You'll ask, Echo yavdu agoyim ha'eles Eloheyim? How did these nations worship their gods? I will do the same. In what sense? I will do the same in worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me borrow their mode and manner of worship to serve Hashem Yisbarach. Don't do that to Hashem. Why? Because their modes and manners are also deficient. Ki chotoavas Hashem asher sonei. They engaged in manners of worship which were disgusting. They would offer up their own children as sacrifices to the Avodah Zarah. God doesn't want human sacrifice. And that's the conclusion of the psukim. Es kol ha'dover shanochi mitzave eschem, oso sishmeru la'asos. Stick to what I told you to do. Lo sosei falav lo sigra mimenu. Don't add, don't subtract. In other words, don't try to second guess how to serve Hashem by borrowing modes and manners of worship from the non-Jewish nations. Serve Hashem the way I told you to serve Hashem. Don't make up new ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are borrowed from non-Jewish worship, because not only is the object of that worship something undesirable, but the manner and the mode of that worship is also something undesirable as well. So that's Ramban writes that there's a unique prohibition that's put forward by these psukim to adopt non-Jewish forms of worship in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we'll see in a few moments, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very, very much enamored of this Ramban, he felt that this Ramban reflected not only the position of the Ramban, but as we'll see in a few moments, he felt that it represented the positions of other Rishonim as well. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And the Rav Zatzal applied this concept from the Ramban to many modifications that were proposed by those who would change the Orthodox style of services. So to take one very, very famous example, the Rav would tell the story how when he was in Boston, he was approached by a young man who had moved to a suburb of Boston, and the only synagogue that was in walking distance had mixed seating. The men and women sat together. So he asked for Soloveitchik, you know, if the seating in the shul is mixed, but otherwise the service is Orthodox, can I daven in such a shul? And the Rav told him, no, you're not allowed to daven in such a shul. It came time for Rosh Hashanah, and apparently this young man was not able to go somewhere else for Rosh Hashanah. The only option of hearing shofar was in this shul with the mixed seating. And he approached the Baal Tokeya before Rosh Hashanah. He said, you know, my rabbi told me I'm not allowed to daven in the shul. Would you be able to come over my house a little bit later and just blow for me privately? The Baal Tokeya said, no, nothing doing. You know, either you come to shul and hear the blast of the shofar here, or, you know, you're going to miss out on the mitzvah altogether. So he went back to Rav Soloveitchik, and he asked, you know, I understand that the Rav is against davening in a place that has mixed seating. I get that. But what if that means I'm going to lose out on the mitzvah of hearing shofar on Rosh Hashanah? That's a big deal. I'll just come in for shofar, I'll hear shofar, then I'll leave. Rav Soloveitchik told him, it's worthwhile for you. The correct thing to do is to forego the mitzvah of hearing shofar on Rosh Hashanah rather than even come in for a few moments into the shul that has mixed pews, you know, and certainly not to daven there. So that's certainly a very, very strong statement. And one can argue on the surface that maybe that was just, in a sense, a haras shah, a temporary stricture in order to fight against the movement which was going on in Jewish life at that time. I think it was back in the 1950s, when so many shuls, even so-called Orthodox shuls, were instituting mixed seating. And the Rav, as was well known, was a tremendous fighter against that particular movement. On the surface, the psak seems a little bit over the top. I mean, the mitzvah of shofar is the mitzvah that comes from the Torah. Why would you set that aside, you know, because of the concern about mixed seating in the shul? So the Rav justified his opinion based on this Ramban. The Rav argued the introduction of mixed seating into the shul is not an arbitrary introduction. Ultimately, the first ones in history that concerns the Jewish people to introduce mixed seating were the Christians. Jews historically always had the men and women sitting separately. However, when the early Christians wanted to try to market this new religion, Christianity, to the Gentile world, they knew that they knew that separate seating was not going to fly in the very licentious pagan world. So they told them the men and women can sit together during church services and, you know, that will be fine. So ultimately, when the reformers started trying to make the shul more like a church, so that's what they did. They introduced mixed seating in a conscious attempt to Christianize the shul. It was not just simply a matter of aesthetics or of comfort or something like that. It certainly wasn't an issue of equality. You know, because in the early days, although they had mixed seating, the women were not allowed to participate in the service in any way. It was entirely an attempt to bring a Christian way of worship into the shul itself. As such, said Rav Soloveitchik, to daven in a shul that has mixed seating is a violation of this issa d'oraisa, as explained by the Ramban. You're not worshipping Avodah Zarah. The person who goes to a mixed-seating synagogue is not worshipping Christianity. However, he's worshipping God, utilizing a mode and a manner that was borrowed from Christianity. He's taking something from a foreign religion and saying, oh, this is a great way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, it's worthwhile to give up even on the Torah mitzvah of hearing shofar on Rosh Hashanah so as not to violate this lo sasei min haTorah, this negative commandment that comes from the Torah itself, echo yavdu hagayim ha'elas Eloheim ve'esa kein gam oni. The Soloveitchik was very, very strong on that particular point. But maybe it's just the Ramban. You know, again, it's very nice to say that there's a Ramban who says that there is a mitzvah lo sasei min haTorah, a Torah prohibition against taking a mode or manner of divine service from a non-Jewish source and introducing it back into our Avodas Hashem. Okay, but maybe others disagree with the Ramban. I mean, it seems like Rashi disagrees with the Ramban. The Ramban quotes Rashi as saying that all these psukim are talking about an iser to worship Avodah Zarah. They're not talking about an iser to serve God using idolatrous modes or manners of service. It's talking about serving Avodah Zarah itself. So Soloveitchik claimed that the Rambam and the Baalei Tosfos in Sanhedrin also agreed with this Ramban. So he would quote, this is Rav Shechter quotes in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav on page Lamed, Resh Lamed Aleph, the following idea. He would quote the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph from Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where the Rambam talks about the prohibition of chukos akum, that we're not supposed to do things that mimic the non-Jews. And again, obviously, that's a very broad statement. I mean, non-Jewish people wear ties, you know. We generally assume that we're allowed to wear ties, you know. So what does it mean to mimic? What's the prohibition against mimicking, you know, non-Jewish practices? So when the Rambam talks about this prohibition against mimicking non-Jewish practices, he quotes our pasuk, Hishomer lecha pentinokesh achareihem. Be very careful lest you be ensnared by them. So said the Rav, well, according to Rashi, that pasuk, Hishomer lecha pentinokesh achareihem, is not talking about chukas akum, it's talking about avodah zarah. Chukas akum and avodah zarah are two different things. When the person is engaged in a prohibition of chukas akum, it means that he's doing something which is a non-Jewish practice, which is, you know, it's a practice followed by non-Jews, by idolaters, but it's not he's not worshipping Avodah Zarah per se, he's just doing something which is common among the non-Jews or the idolaters. We'll try to define that a little bit more precisely in just a moment. The fact that the Rambam quotes our pasuk, Hishomer lecha pentinokesh achareihem, as a source for chukos akum, seems to imply that the Rambam agrees with the Ramban that indeed is the discussion here in the pasuk. Not that we're talking about Avodah Zarah itself, but rather about the prohibition of chukos akum. More than that, Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, talks about two different types of chukos akum. Again, we said, you know, how do you define, you know, whether something falls into this prohibition of imitating an idolatrous practice, you know, imitating a non-Jewish practice? I mean, again, obviously there are things that the non-Jews do which we are allowed to imitate. They wear ties, we can also wear ties. You know, what's the, the getter hadavar? What exactly is the nature of what's prohibited? So Tosfos there in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis talks about two different types of chukos akum. One type of chukos akum, he says, is a practice which is followed by the non-Jewish world, which doesn't really serve any practical purpose. It's just something which, something which they do, which, you know, has become a custom or something which they follow, but, you know, can't really be explained in any rational way. It's just something that's taken root. But there's a second type of chukos akum, where the practice might have a rationale behind it. It might be very understandable. However, the practice itself is borrowed from idolatrous worship. And then, if the practice itself is borrowed from idolatrous worship, so then, even if one can explain the practice as having meaning in its own right and having purpose in its own right, if it's borrowed from an idolatrous type of worship or an idolatrous context, that itself, says Tosfos, is a type of chukos akum, is a type of prohibition of following the ways of the idolaters which is prohibited by the Torah. Said Rav Soloveitchik, that second concept, that if something started off as being an idolatrous, something from an idolatrous context, an idolatrous mode or manner of worship, which Tosfos is referring to, is really the same idea that comes from the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that if a certain practice was practiced by idolaters, even if you think the practice has meaning, and you look at it, you say that's beautiful, that's wonderful, it's something that we should adopt in a Jewish context as well, nonetheless, he thought that that fell into the category of this Issa Daraisa of Echo Yavdu Agoim Ho'eles Eloheim. So Rav Soloveitchik's position was, here, look, you have the Ramban, you have the Rambam, you have the Baalei Tosfos in Sanhedrin, all of a sudden this is no longer just a single isolated position that exists among the Rishonim. You have three major sources of Psak, the Rambam, the Ramban, and the Baalei Tosfos, all putting forward this idea that to borrow a practice from Avodah Zarah and modify it to use it in a Jewish context is going to be a violation of this Issur D'Oraisa of Echo Yavdu Agoyim Ha'eles Eloheim. So then, you know, we could understand why Soloveitchik was so opposed to the notion of mixed pews in shul, to the point to which he was ready to tell somebody that it would be better to forego the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah rather than to daven in a shul that has mixed pews under those circumstances. The Rav extended this to other modernizations that were introduced by the non-Orthodox movements into the shul. He felt that the practice of having the chazan face the tzibur as opposed to facing the aron was a direct, was something that was directly borrowed from Christianity. Again, the notion of having, you know, the havdil, the preacher, come up and speak towards the people, that whoever's leading the service would face the people as opposed to facing the aron. He didn't just see that as a deviation from a minog that had been followed in shuls from time immemorial, but he said it's more than that. It's actually a prohibition, a daraisa. You know, it's a violation of this iser. Veicho yavdu hagoyim ha'elas Elohim ve'esa kin gamoni. It has very, very serious consequences. It would come out according to that. That even if you had a shul that had separate seating, that had a mechitza, but, you know, it was set up in such a way that the chazan was facing the tzibur as opposed to facing the aron. So Soloveitchik would hold that that's a problem of this Issa D'Oraisa, Eicho Yavdu Hagoyim Ho'eles Eloheihem, Ve'esa Kein Gam Oni. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.